Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm all right. The Tuesday evening vibes. We're kind of getting pretty miscellaneous with when we record our shows nowadays. It's like whenever enough stuff happens to full like 35, 40 minutes, that's when we're going. Ooh. Anyway, that's pretty random what I just said, but we got a good show today. We've got some stuff, pretty diverse. Pretty all over the place again.
This is the first week or few days, more like, where we haven't really been able to talk too much about football. Nothing really happened recently in terms of Jets, Giants, other than like...
Hey, good for us. We're moving on.
Yeah, there you go. So right now, main thing, we're focusing on baseball. This past few days has shown a few different things for both the Mets and the Yankees. We'll start with the Yankees. We talked about it a little bit in our last episode, but the Yankees re-signing DJ LeMahieu. And then obviously a very big move come right after that. I'll let you get into that.
I don't know if like very big isn't it. Like it's like a, what's the word? There's like a phrase for it. It's like the risk reward is like very high. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
like if he's like, I mean, this is like a prove it deal for Kluber. If he proves it, like if he's like a beast, like I don't expect him to be like 2015 through 17 level like he was like 2014 through 17 when everyone that Cy Young, but he's trying to prove that he can be worth a big league deal. He's on a 1 year prove it deal. I think he'll probably be like, I really hope the Yankees aren't done for the offseason now, because they still have holes to fill. And like, I know, like, I'm never satisfied with that, and it's because when you are contenders four straight years and can't get over the hump in the American League and you have the opportunity, because I mean, like, they're top contenders. It's like them, Chicago. You could throw Houston in there. Minnesota's pretty good, and Tampa's pretty good. But, like, on paper, they're better than pretty much all those teams, maybe other than the White Sox. Yeah, but they still have the experience over the White Sox. Getting a veteran pitcher like Kluber in there, he's not the two guy. Luis Severino's the two guy right now once he comes back. And you got to pray he comes back healthy. You really do. And, like, you're going to fill out those other two spots with, like, if the season started tomorrow, like, Garcia and Montgomery. And you think that's good enough to, like, make a legit run at the East in a 162-game season. Like, the Yankees still have moves to make, but I'm happy with the Kluber deal nonetheless. I'm not trying to sound pessimistic. It's a good deal to get a starting pitcher. I think he's on an $11 million 1 year. So, like, but I think he took less money to come to the Yankees. He'll have that relationship with Matt Blake. And one thing, like, they're not paying $11 million for the pitcher. They're playing it for the person. Now, imagine being a young pitcher on the Yankees, and now you get to learn from Garrett Cole and Corey Kluber.
That's such, like, a great experience.
Those are your two guys that, like, you're going to get to, like, learn from. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a Garcia, if you're a Montgomery, if you're a Clark Schmidt, if you're a Michael King, a Domingo Herman, like, a young guy like that, and you're like, okay, like, these are the two guys we need to model our games after. These are the guys we can learn from, so on and so forth. Like, hey, that sounds good to me. You know, like, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, going back to what you said originally, I don't think that this Yankees offseason is over by any means. I mean,
I hope not, but if they fly over that luxury, they're at 205 right now. The first threshold is 210. If they fly over that and they have a good enough roster for opening day that I can't complain about, you won't hear me. I won't be like a baby about it, but I really hope they do go flying over that threshold, because they shouldn't even care anymore. The Mets are going to start spending a lot more. The Yankees should spend a lot more as well. I think the team should be spending over the luxury tax, because the Yankees and Mets should both be contending every year now. And right now the Yankees are contenders, but are they content with being championship contenders or AL East contenders? That's the question. So that's hopefully so nice. They keep spending. You're right.
That's so nice to hear. The Mets should be contenders. But yeah, sure. I haven't really heard that too much. But yeah, no, definitely Yankees. I think that this was a really solid pickup for the Yankees. I think that they didn't get him for an insane expensive amount. 1 year, 11 mil isn't bad by any means. He's going to be a really solid piece to this rotation. And I think that all in all, I don't know. I think it's just a good pickup. I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense. You get him back with Blake. You get him back with Cressy. In New York. And like I said, he's a good mentor for the young guys. He's been good in the postseason for pretty much his whole career. He's a two-time Cy Young winner and a three-time All-Star as a pitcher. And I know that he really hasn't been great since 2018 was his last like 20 win, like under three season where he's been healthy the whole way through and pitched. But hey man, like you're 35 years old. You've never won a ring. You just signed with the Yankees. You know, like what better time to have a career renaissance than right now, if you're Corey Kluber. Like this was a guy that pitched like sub 3.5 ERAs for like five straight years in Cleveland and made three all-star teams and won two Cy Youngs. Like, why not? You know what I mean? And he performed in the 2016 playoffs. He performed in the 2018 playoffs with Cleveland. Not so much 2017. If you'll remember correctly, that was his ALDS against the Yankees where Didi Gregorius just... you know, it's funny. I actually saw this on Twitter. It's like game four, Yankee Stadium, 2017 ALDS. We want Kluber. We want Kluber. Trying to force a game five. Yankees fans now in January 2021. We want Kluber. We want Kluber. We want him on our team. So it's pretty funny.
It is. And, it's ironic.
Yeah. Hopefully he can stay healthy. That's the biggest question mark. If he can stay healthy, I believe that he can be a solid depth piece on this team. Probably a game four starter, ideally, because you'd love to see Severino healthy. Garrett Cole's the ace, no matter where how you put it. And I'd love to see the Yankees pick up. So actually, this is funny. We saw the Luis Castillo thing. It ended up not being true. I took all that news with a grain of salt to begin with. I don't think Cincinnati's moving him, especially when the starting price is Gleyber Torres. You're not going to give up your 24-year-old shortstop that's been as good as he has been the last 3 years.
Yeah, they're not giving up Torres.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, especially when you're contending. It's not worth it because if they were going to make that deal, they'd make it next year when the shortstop class of I think Correa and like Seager and Story are all free agents, but even then, I doubt that the Yankees – I think the Yankees stick with Torres regardless. So he's really valuable to them. So it makes sense they don't make that deal. Another guy – that's just – we're just going to kill that. That's dead in the water for now. Yeah. Another guy I want the Yankees to look at is Kyle Hendricks. Similar to Kluber, a little younger. His prime has been a little bit more recent. Probably not as impressive numbers as Kluber and his, but nonetheless it's a guy you want on your team, and he's probably would be the two starter if he got on the Yankees. And then if you're four in the playoffs are Cole, Hendricks, Severino, Kluber, that's as good as any team in the AL now that the Rays have broken up their band. Verlander's not the same down there in Houston. The White Sox have a pretty good rotation with Giolito and Lance Lynn, but you know, they're unproven still. They haven't won a playoff series yet with that core. And maybe if the Yankees could get another bullpen piece. The one thing that I want the Yankees to do that would be so Yankees that I doubt they do is just, like, throw together, like, a package for Hader where, like, they don't even give up that much somehow and they still manage to get Josh Hader, kind of like how they, like, finessed Stanton. Something along those lines would be wonderful, but that's just unrealistic. The Yankees have been – I've been moaning about the Yankees getting Hader for, like, 2 years now, and I realize that he has a questionable past, but hopefully he can come to New York, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's just all wishful thinking. But the Yankees should not be done. They're not, like, the set-in-stone contenders. They've never been in this era of Yankees baseball. But, yeah, I'm happy with the Kluber signing. It's a step in the right direction, but don't stop.
Yeah, so definitely hopefully an exciting offseason coming up for this Yankees team. I don't think – like I said before, I don't think that they're done making moves. I think that they need – I mean, what's their cap situation right now? What's their financial
– we are $5 million AAV under the luxury tax.
Okay.
So the first threshold, which is 210. So we're sitting at about 205 right now. I'd love to see the Yankees – like, the Yankees have never gone over it. I'd love to see them go over it. That's how the Red Sox won a World Series. That's how the Dodgers won a World Series. That's how the Cubs won a World Series. You go flying over the luxury tax, and you win. I'd love to see the Yankees do that and win because the window might be a little – it might be peak and shut a little bit. I don't know. Like, the Yankees haven't had a losing season in 28 years now, but I don't know. Like, they're, like, contenders. That might be getting a little smaller as extensions for guys like Judge, like Torres, like, you know, these guys come up, you know. So, yeah. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see the Yankees finally just go all in, not just like dipping their foot in the water like they did with going out and getting Cole or going out and getting Stanton. Just keep putting pressure on other teams to get better by signing these players and being the real deal about it. Not just being like, oh, we did this, so now we don't have to do anything else. Like, don't be satisfied. Don't stop. Put together the best team you can and don't leave question marks. Just don't leave question marks. And yeah, that's the last thing I have to say about the Yankees for now until they do something else.
All right, so let's move across to Citi Field. Very interesting headlines this past week. So
I think it was like this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, last night, this morning.
I actually went to bed very early last night, so I didn't see it until this morning, but I was like, oh, yeah.
So GM Jared Porter, Mets GM Jared Porter.
For like a month.
Yeah, less than a month of being hired, sent graphic, this is exactly from SportsCenter, graphic uninvited text messages and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he was with the Cubs. I read through a bit of like an article with more detailed descriptions of it, and it was absolutely disgusting. I think that it's really, really important, and I'm proud to be a Met fan in the sense that Steve Cohen got rid of him almost immediately. Actually, it wasn't immediately, and said that there's zero tolerance for this type of behavior. And I mean, I'll read you Steve Cohen's exact tweet. He says, "We have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior." So I think that was probably the best thing that you could do in the situation. I mean, you're not going to try to keep him for any longer. You're not trying to put out an apology, that kind of thing. Sandy Alderson, Mets president, said the New York Mets have terminated general manager Jared Porter. Effective immediately, Jared's actions, as reflected by events disclosed last night, failed to meet the Mets standards for professionalism and personal conduct. And you know, I mean, it's a bad situation, but there's nothing more you could do. I mean, what can you do in that situation other than just fire him and try to move on? They just put out something that they're not going to immediately look for a GM. It's just going to kind of be...
Yeah, let Alderson in... Exactly. I don't know how hands-off Cohen is, or how hands-on, or how much he's involved with the baseball ops, other than just writing out the checks. But one thing I'll say about Steve Cohen is that he handled this beautifully. Exactly. It does show a culture change for the Mets, because you know the Wilpons would have screwed this up one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's really... Stuff like what Jared Porter did has no room for baseball, or sports in general. Yeah, there's no place for that. It's disgusting on a human level, and it's unprofessional, and frankly it's just gross. You know what I mean? Like, why should you do that? And I really don't have much else to say about it other than that it's just like the Mets handled it the way they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's just, it shows a culture change with the Mets where Cohen handled it perfectly, and what might have been his first blip as an owner was not a blip at all. He sought it out. He saw like, okay, this is going to be a problem. We can just cut off this dead meat right here because it's not worth hanging on to. You know what I mean? And exactly. Let Alderson deal with it for now. Let him do the baseball ops. He's got that experience. He was a part of the Lindor stuff. You know, he was GM already for years under the Wilpons. So he's got that experience.
I mean, I think it is. I saw a tweet where it's decently comical that both Jared Porter and Carlos Beltran were fired by the Mets in the same offseason that they were hired for the inappropriate use of cameras. I mean, it's just Mets luck, but what can you do in this
situation? Mets luck is not going to be a thing anymore. Everyone did.
I hope so, man.
Yeah. The Mets handled this the way they should have. I think they did the right thing here. And you know, this shows that they're trying to step into that role of being a first-class organization, like a Yankees, like a Red Sox, like a Dodgers, where they're like, okay, we're not going to put up with this crap anymore. We're not going to be a joke. We're not going to be the Knicks of the MLB. And you just consider
the Yankees a first-class organization?
100%. What are you talking about?
I've been to Yankee games. I don't really know about that. They're
a first-class organization. They've always have been.
Yeah.
They're a first-class organization. Listen, this has nothing to do with the fans. This is everything.
Well, the Yankees and the Red Sox, but...
The Red Sox are also a first-class organization.
Debatable.
Yeah, they totally are. Yes, they are. All the teams I just listed, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the
management,
Dodgers,
yes, I'll give you that.
The Cubs in there. They're like first-class organizations. In terms of management, like, recognizable, like those are the marketable, like, always successful, always making money, usually good. I guess not the Cubs, but like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox are usually good.
Okay.
You get what I mean.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. It's more management than anything else.
Yeah, so. No. I don't mean like winning wise. The Yankees are stupid. But you get what I mean. Like it shows that the Mets are trying to step into that role. They're trying to be like in no, this has nothing to do with them trying to identify anything. They just did the right thing. That's the way I'll end it. They did the right thing, and Jared Porter deserved to be fired because that has no place in sports and it's just gross.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's pretty much all we have to say about the Mets right now.
Yeah, the Mets really haven't. The Mets like were involved in the Musgrove trade. I think they got like a back end like pitcher or something like that.
It wasn't anything big though. It wasn't
maybe like a depth starter. I forget the guy's name. It's something like really Italian though. I think it started with an L. I'm dead serious. Look it up.
No, I know. I saw it. I mean, it's Joey Lucchesi, I think.
Yeah, something like that. You would know better, Mr. Evangelista. Whatever. No. But
no, but I mean, the Mets are still in talks with Springer. I don't know.
I think it's either going to be you guys or Toronto.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Or maybe the Red Sox, but I don't think the Red Sox are going to spend right now.
I
don't know. I dial it down. If the Red Sox were spending, because I read the SNY article. Did Martino write it about like how he wants to play close to Connecticut?
Yeah, I mean.
If the Red Sox were spending, the three teams I'd dial it down to would be you guys, the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox. But I guess if the Red Sox aren't going to do anything for the third straight offseason, then I guess it's going to be you guys and the Blue Jays because the Yankees aren't going to get him. They have Aaron Hicks locked down in center, and once he's done, it'll be Dominguez. And obviously they've got Judge and Frazier in right and left. So, like, not to mention the whole Yankees-Astros rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, and then just in other Mets news, this isn't really anything big. This is just speculation and stuff, but free agent reliever Brad Hand has switched his agency, which
For like 5 minutes on the morning of DJ, they said Brad Hand signed with the Mets, and then now he's not signed with the Mets. He's still a free agent, right?
Yes, but I mean, switching agents in the middle of free agency is a little suspicious.
Do you think that's good for the Mets or not good for the Mets?
That's the thing. I don't know. You don't know in that sense.
Yeah,
you don't
it's very know. Weird.
So, I mean, it's just probably if you're switching agents in the middle of free agency, you're not getting the check that you want. So it's going to be something a little more on the down low for right now. But I think right now the two names that the Mets are looking right now are Springer and Hand. But that's all for Mets.
They get both or just one or neither?
I think they'll end up with one of the two. I think
players want to play for the Mets nowadays.
Exactly.
That's actually refreshing to hear, even as a Yankees fan. Like I think that I can enjoy, like, I'd love to have a real crosstown rivalry with the Mets, like, unlike the joke that is Giants-Jets. Like it would be fun for both of us. And I've never had that hatred for the Mets. I like to troll the Mets. Mets fans annoy me occasionally. But, like, at the end of the day, like, if Springer signed with the Mets, that's better. I'd rather him sign with the Mets than with the Blue Jays. I'll tell you that much, because I'm afraid of the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Blue Jays will be good, I think.
Yeah, so I hope Springer signs with the Mets in that case. I'd rather him sign there than with Boston or Toronto.
So, I agree.
Yeah, that'd be – in that instance, who do the Mets get rid of, though? Like Nimmo? Or like – like
kind of have to in that sense, in that situation. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, look, I don't have an exact idea, but yeah, that's tough.
To get rid of Nimmo or like Conforto? Nah, they wouldn't get rid of Conforto. That'd be stupid.
If they get rid of Conforto, that's not a good move, personally.
Yeah, he's like a lefty bat in there. It wouldn't make sense to get rid of Michael Conforto.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's about it for Yankees Mets stuff.
I don't know. Like, really, we're just speculating at this point, but yeah, I know. The Yankees and Mets still have a lot on their plate to get done. They both have some question marks, except there's a little bit more excitement around the Mets because now it's starting to feel like the Yankees are still in the same place they have been. The Mets are stepping into that contenders in the East role. Like, I don't know. The Mets still have to do a bunch of things to get on the same level of the Dodgers and Padres, I think. So I doubt they're done. And then if the Yankees are content with being more than just an ALDS participant, they'll go out and get some more arms.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Yankees trade for like, I don't know. This is so random. Like, if they traded for, like, Hendricks and, like, Bryant, that'd be so funny. Like, Chris Bryant. Nah, we don't need Chris Bryant.
I don't think they're going for Chris Bryant. I think the Mets
will go for Chris Bryant. I don't think the Mets will go for Chris Bryant either, but
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
I thought that was kind of some falsehood. I think they'd rather get Springer than Bryant, but
yeah.
I don't know. If the Yankees traded for Hendricks, I'd love to see them get a bat, like maybe like an outfield bat.
It would make sense to.
Like, lefty bat. I don't know. Schwarber signed somewhere else, so it's not going to be him. I don't know. Like when we were talking Castillo, I was like, oh, maybe Castillo and Moustakas get that fifth infielder, lefty fifth infielder against a righty. If Voit ever needed a break or DJ or whatever, like playing first, or like DJ could play third, Gio could play, get a day off or whatever it was. I don't know. Just all thoughts. That's why it's fun to play with. I wish I could be a fly on the wall of Cashman or Sandy right now, but whatever. That's enough baseball for today. We have to talk about basketball real quick and hockey and stuff.
Yeah. So let's start with the Knicks. The Knicks have had a bit of an inconsistent run recently, but I mean,
two straight.
That is true. Two straight wins. They lost to the Cavs the game before that in a very.
That might have been the worst loss of the year, actually. That was so frustrating to watch.
I was actually listening to that with my friends on the radio in the car, where it was just kind of like coming down to the end. Drummond.
They turned the ball over. RJ turned it over twice. And then I think like Reggie Bullock made a great defensive play and then panicked and turned it over. And they lost by three. They were sloppy the whole game. And like it showed. And that ended up being their fifth straight loss.
Yeah. Did we get to talk about the Knicks game?
We talked about Harden a little bit. I don't know if we've talked about Harden being on the team yet, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it looked good.
With the Knicks, before we get into like the Harden, Nets, Kyrie still gone situation, I think
that. Play this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that he should be back in a few days. I think that's what the report was. But. I mean, regardless, I think with the Knicks, one thing that they need to do absolutely is get rid of Elfrid Payton. I don't understand how Thibodeau keeps.
They're so much better when Emmanuel Quickly is on the floor.
That's what I'm saying.
So much better. And listen, like Reggie Bullock, like he'll get less minutes once Alec Burks comes back, and hopefully he'll be back for this Western road trip. And Obi Toppin's healthy. I'd love to see him be in the rotation a little bit. He played really good against Boston the other day on Sunday. Who else? Kevin Knox. I wouldn't mind seeing him in the starting lineup either, dude. I don't know.
Look, I mean, I think that
Kevin Knox is filling the role we thought he'd play this year, and that's why I'm so happy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to be a star. We know he's not going to be like that 20 points a game guy, but. Once we accepted he can be a consistent role player and that's his ceiling,
and he's doing that.
We should be happy with that. He's a 3-and-D guy that doesn't make mistakes. You know, like I'm happy with Kevin Knox right now. Maybe he shouldn't be starting, but I like the minutes he's getting. You know, he's averaging about 10 a game. He's shooting well. I'm happy with Kevin Knox right now.
Me too. I mean, Kevin Knox has been everything that we've kind of asked him to be. It's not like. Yeah, we
for this year, yeah.
Yeah, last year, obviously, we had higher hopes. But I think for this year going in, everyone kind of expected him to just be a solid role player. And that's exactly what he's done. Like, you can't really complain with his play. Obviously, Randall has been stepping up recently. Still,
RJ Barrett's played better recently, too.
And yeah, four games, Barrett's definitely been stepping up. I think I saw a thing where he's shooting, like, 47 points on 19.
Yeah, he was in that shooting slump. But now he's been getting almost – 20 every game, and he had like 20 and 12 yesterday.
Even when
Julius Randle played bad, RJ Barrett was the best player on the court yesterday. You know, that's so relieving to see that he can step into that role every once in a while. Like,
I mean, both of them,
yeah, like 9 and 30, man. Like, Randle and Barrett have been really good.
Yeah, last night, I mean, Randle put up 21 and 17, I think it was, and then
he shot really poorly, but he picked it up towards the end. He made some big plays down the stretch. He hit his free throws in the last minute of the game.
Yeah,
and ultimately. The Knicks have had really, really good defense.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks have the number one defense in the league.
Did you see Alan Hahn's tweet?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yep, the Knicks have had a really good defense. My uncle sent me this tweet the other day. Currently number one in scoring defense, number one in defensive field goal percentage, and number one in three-point percentage. Now, and also an interesting stat I saw is that they're currently 6-4 against teams that are currently sitting in a playoff spot and 1-4 against teams that are not. So they're beating better teams. They've beaten the Celtics. They've beaten the Bucks. They've beaten who else? They've beaten the Jazz. The Jazz are pretty good.
Magic,
who are sitting in a playoff spot right now, like they're nothing special. But like,
can we talk about how they
Bucks with like they did a good job locking down Trae Young. Like, they're winning games that are tougher games almost, and now they're going on the road They got they've got Golden State, Sacramento, Portland, and Utah, I believe. Right?
Can we talk about how they beat the Celtics?
Yeah, no, that was an incredible game. Dude, they were clicking on all cylinders. That was fantastic.
Look, I don't know if that shows more just the potential of this Knicks team or how much the Celtics need Jason Tatum. Otherwise, like, no matter
what. Kemba Walker played terrible.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker played terrible. And, you know, Celtics are a good team. But, like, I think even if Jason Tatum plays that game, like, the Knicks just dominated them, dude.
That was really fun to watch.
Jason Tatum's really good, but, like, and, like, the Knicks only won by 30. Like, you could say, oh, Jason Tatum puts up 30 points. But, like, nonetheless, like, the Knicks just dominated every other player. Every other player played bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Celtics didn't have a single good performance that game, and the Knicks defense was incredible. The Knicks defense was so good.
I agree.
Like, they were forcing Boston into tough shots, and it was good again against Orlando. They were forcing Orlando into tough shots. Their scoring was a little bit more of a problem. But, yeah, their shooting needs to be better. The Knicks shooting percentage is still not great. I feel like it'll improve once Burks is back in the lineup to space the floor a little more. I would like Emmanuel Quickly to get – they're easing him into it. He's a rookie. I get it, and he was injured for a little while. So I get why he's not starting, but at the same time, the irrational Knicks fan in me is like, oh, my God, start IQ. Like, I'm going to keep saying that.
I like watching him. His floater is actually insane. But
yeah, no, he's great. He's like he had a stretch of three games where he had like 19, 23, and like 19 again or something like that.
Good for him. I picked him up in fantasy basketball.
Dude, the Knicks have just been an enjoyable team to watch, you know?
Yeah, so for the rest of this week, they go into
– on the road. They have Golden State, Sacramento, Portland, and Utah, I think.
Yes, that's
go
exactly.
Go 2-2. Just go 2-2.
I mean, right now they're 15 games in. They're 7-8, which is honestly not terrible.
Better than I thought they would be 15 games in, probably.
Yeah, like, I thought they would.
Consistency has been the death of them. Like, you lose two straight. You win 5 out of 6. You lose another 5, and then you win 2 on back-to-back afternoons. It's just, like, kind of weird. Like, I feel like once they're a younger team, once they pick up that consistency, they can be better. Once RJ Barrett and Julius Randle can get some more consistency, if they can both play well on the same night, like.
It'll be nice to watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully Obi Toppin is getting
to a better product. They're putting on a better product. Like, every game is entertaining.
I still don't think Obi Toppin's at 100%, obviously.
I don't think so either. That's why he hasn't been playing that much. But he played well in his limited time against the Celtics. He didn't play much against Orlando, but mostly garbage minutes nonetheless. Obi Toppin played very well, and he looked good with IQ.
Yeah,
like, the two of them looked really good. Yeah. Yeah, that was Obi Toppin's best game as a pro for sure so far. He'll get more garbage minutes for now, but I don't know, like, in Boston, that was just a complete team effort. Like, Obi Toppin had 12 off the bench. He shot well. Emmanuel Quickly had 17 off the bench. And Randall and Barrett getting, like, putting together. Like, once you put it all together, they're getting somewhere between, like, 40 to 45 minutes. 40 to 45 points a game, so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd like to see that step up a little more, but, hey, that's good enough, you know.
Let's switch over to Barclays Center. Nets play. James Harden's been playing. Kyrie has not been playing yet. What do you think of that?
Durant looks really good.
That's what I was going for.
Durant is not missed a beat. I mean, he is their best player, and he's been terrific. You know, like, it's Kevin Durant's team at the end of the day. James Harden's been good in his first two games. He was a little bit better in his first game than in his second game, but Kevin Durant, nonetheless, it's like, it's going to be hard to guard these guys.
Yeah, definitely. And
after watching last night's game, I caught a bit of it. That Bucks-Nets Eastern Conference final is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, I think
that's definitely what it's going to be too.
I think that the Bucks have the best depth of any team in the East. And they have Giannis, who's probably definitely a top two player in the East because it's him or KD. So we'll just have to see how that goes. I mean, what a game last night. James Harden seems to be happy, which I guess good for him. Like, as much as I hate the Nets, like, good to see, like, that dude is finally, like, enjoying playing basketball again. And then Kevin Durant hasn't missed a beat. If they can get Kyrie Irving back in and clicking, I mean, it's all sunshine and rainbows right now, but I don't know how long you can get, like, the smiley face happy times going, you know, like, before the cracks in the dam start showing through and the water starts leaking in, you know?
Yeah, and
I'm waiting for it to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's early on, but
Kyrie has returned to practice. They say Steve Nash said that he is expected to play tomorrow against the Cavs. The Nets play in Cleveland both tomorrow and Friday, and then they head back home and play Miami Saturday and Monday. So just a little weird scheduling thing there. But the Nets definitely have shown that they are a contending team and that it's going to be very hard to beat them. I think that they are top two in the East. I think that they definitely could fight for a spot in the finals. I think that it's obviously still very early, but Kevin Durant, like you said, has shown absolutely no sign of slowing down. It's barely any regression from that ACL injury, showing that
he's just not missed a beat. You can't even tell he took a year off.
Exactly.
What a pandemic. He honestly, hats off to Kevin Durant. Like, it's incredible what he's doing after an ACL. I don't think the NBA has ever seen anything this impressive coming back from that magnitude of an injury and still being as good as he's been. It really is incredible. Like, really great for Kevin Durant.
And that's a big FU to James Dolan. I mean,
it really is.
Deciding
that he might end up in the Mecca. If I remember from 2 years ago that the article, if he wasn't sure, and just, I'm shaking my head right now. Like, I really am.
I mean, yeah, we also,
what a horrible take by James Dolan. And of course we were like sheep to the slaughter. We were like, oh yeah, he's right.
Yeah, he is right. Am I right? No, he is not right. He was wrong, obviously. There's nothing that James Dolan has done recently that has been good for this Knicks team. But you know what? Maybe that changes this year. We'll see. You want to hit on the Rangers real quick before we end?
Yeah. I mean, the Rangers have only played one game. But yeah,
exactly.
It's our last thing. They played the Devils tonight. But I will say this, a perfect way to respond by getting curb stomped by your arch rival on opening night and losing 4-0 is by beating them 5-0 2 days later.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we had the same opinions for the last episode, but going into this next game, it was a big turnaround. We were unsure on certain things with this Rangers team that got kind of solved decently quickly in the game after.
Yeah, Quinn switched the lines. That I was a little questionable on some of the defensive pairings and moving Lafreniere to the right wing, but I mean, Panarin scored twice, but Buchnevich scored twice, and Kakko scored, which is huge. If there's a guy who needed an early season goal to get him going, it's Kaapo Kakko.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that I did watch that game. I think that it was very entertaining. I am obviously trying to get more into hockey and stuff like that.
I watched bits and pieces of it because football was on as well. But
yeah, me too. I was going back and forth. But I think that it was just like a fun game to watch. I think that obviously whenever the Rangers are winning by an immense amount,
whenever you're beating the Islanders by a big margin, it's going to be fun. But I mean,
but this team showed
good. He's starting again tonight, so I hope Shesterkin's healthy, because we know that's going to, the Rangers are going with more of a tandem look with Shesterkin and Gorgiev in net.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, like, you go with the guy that's hot. I mean, Gorgiev shut out the Islanders on Saturday. He should be getting the start tonight. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, hopefully he's good again tonight. I'd love to see both of those guys getting looks. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they end up getting, like, 28 and 28, like, or something near there, like, in the 56-game season. But, like, 28 games started for each, I guess, is what I mean by that. But, yeah, the youth was showing. The guys who were supposed to be scoring scored. Buchnevich got his first two goals. Panarin got his first two goals. I'm glad Kakko scored. He was on the fourth line, which is a little weird, but
yeah,
he plays well there. They'll start moving up, and like right now, the Rangers' top six is pretty solid. You know, like, they've got Kreider, Zibanejad, Buchnevich in the top line, and then you've got Panarin, Strom, and if Lafreniere is going to play right wing, he's going to be in that spot on the Panarin Strom line. I don't know. That first goal is going to be coming sooner rather than later, because he was on the ice for two or three of the goals on Saturday. So he's doing the right things. He's making the right plays. He's a young kid. And if he's playing on a line with Panarin, who gets as many assists as he does, he made Ryan Strome a really good hockey player last year. So I expect him, now that they hopefully have that right wing that they can be confident in, it looks like the Rangers' top six might be complete and they could just fill it out with some better depth going forward. But yeah, hopefully Lafreniere makes that switch swiftly. And yeah, hopefully they beat the Devils tonight, get to 2-1, and then they've got Pittsburgh over the weekend. So Pittsburgh's always tough. As long as Crosby's there, they'll always be tough. But yeah, we'll see.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. You hit on all cylinders. I think that this should be a fun week for New York sports. Hopefully that there's more football news, hopefully that we get something with the Mets and Yankees. Rangers obviously playing.
Rangers and Knicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing going on tomorrow. There's no games on tomorrow, but there is an inauguration, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch.
That'll keep us entertained for the day. Whatever. Doesn't matter. No politics on the show.
There we go. Well, I think that that's just about it for episode number 30. As always, I'm going to drop our socials real quick.
Yeah, there we go. So, okay. I wasn't sure if you'd forgotten. I thought you were about to close out there. You're good. You're good.
So I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter, at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, and Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. Drop yours.
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. The L is the one. That's Kai1EKeegan on Instagram and Twitter. We'll have our next show probably either Friday or Saturday, depending on how much happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.